Looking to earn a business degree that fits your busy life? UNC Greensboro's Bryant School of Business and Economics offers flexible, fully online programs with courses as short as 7 weeks. Get the same high-quality education as you would on campus with the convenience and affordability of online learning. Explore a variety of in-demand programs. Don't wait. Apply now to start this fall. Visit bryant.uncg.edu to apply today.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in all across North America. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We've already been hanging out for an hour. Where have you been? We talked about the New York Knicks actually holding a press conference. They don't do these things. Why? I don't know. Because they're paranoid. Well, I guess I do know. They held a press conference for their new head coach, Mike Brown. We had a press conference, a lot of them today. Big 12 Media Day. We heard from the commissioner of the Big 12, Brett Yormarkus. He is still pushing his 5-11 proposal for the college football playoff. This man, he wants to see the best conference champions moving forward in the playoff. And then the next 11 best-ranked teams. No special treatment for the Big Ten and the SEC. We heard from Urban Meyer. I guess he wanted a pat on the back. He said, yeah, people offered me a job to be a general manager. I'm like, eh, who are you lying about? Okay. Anyway, we got so much more to get into. I just told you about the New York Knicks. Christian Winfield covers the New York Knicks for the New York Daily News. He'll be here with us in about 20 minutes. And then we also have a lot going on in London. Okay, we have Wimbledon. The tennis tournament is still going on. And we got Gil Gross, who's going to join us from the Tennis Channel. And then we have an American who's active on the men's side. And he has a famous girlfriend who's not happy with some of the coverage. Her name is Trinity Rodman. Yeah, daughter of Dennis. Misspeak. Anyway, you want to be a part of the show? You can do that. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me online. I am everywhere at JR Sport Brief. Now, I told you that we have some angry quarterbacks in the world. I'll get into that in a second. I told you that we have someone who's being very smart. And not to the surprise of anybody, it's Nikola Jokic. He is being very, very smart. We got news about 30 minutes ago that Nikola Jokic is eligible to sign a contract extension with the Denver Nuggets. We've seen the Denver Nuggets make some solid moves this offseason, bettering the team, bringing in guys like Bruce Brown, who helped win a championship with the Denver Nuggets, swapping out Cam Johnson for Michael Porter Jr. Maybe Jonas Valanciunas will actually show up to work. He actually spoke to the media today in Lithuania, gave some vague answers. We don't know what the heck this guy is going to do. But we do have an answer, apparently, from Jokic. He's not going to sign a contract extension in 2025. He is going to wait until it is 2026. If he signs an extension this year, he can get a $212 million contract over 3 years. If he waits until next year, he can sign a deal worth $292 million. Now, let's do some simple math here. Doesn't take a rocket scientist. 212, 292. Seems rather simple of a decision to make. And there'll be people running around going, oh, well, he's not committed to the team. Oh, Jokic is not, man. This is not Jonas Valanciunas. Jokic is going to play basketball in the USA until he's done. It might be his last contract. I don't see him as a guy sticking around, you know, until he's 40 years old. He's about 30 years old right now. I think Jokic is going to try to win a few more championships and then just leave. We will probably never hear from this guy again. Hall of Fame speech will be all of 5 minutes. And he's going to say, I'm going back home to be with my damn horses. So Nikola Jokic, a smart man. Now, what else is new there? Now, I did tell you about some miserable men. Why they're miserable, I have no idea. Maybe they're missing like how the real world works. Maybe they're insulated being in the NFL world. It still strikes me that here we are in 2025 and we still have some players. We still have athletes. We have individuals in the world of sports who think loyalty exists somewhere. Where the heck are they? And so we have this series. It's the second season of Quarterback on Netflix. And so it actually debuted early this morning, today. And so as a result, we've gotten a few more clips out of the show. And a few of the quarterbacks who are highlighted, Kirk Cousins, you got Jared Goff, and then you have Joe Burrow. Now, in seeing some of these clips, I haven't watched the full episode today as of yet. I'll probably try and watch it later on today. We knew some of the storylines as cameras followed these guys around all of last season. We know how Kirk Cousins' season ended. Well, he got benched. He then told everybody he was hurt. We also know, prior to the season even starting, well, Michael Penix Jr. was drafted right after he received a four-year, $180 million contract. Jared Goff, well, we know how his season ended. Well, the Detroit Lions got smoked by Washington 45-31, and then he had the temerity to go out there and throw three interceptions in addition to a fumble. And so now that we have the series out, Kirk Cousins tells everybody that he felt misled when he signed his contract with Atlanta. And Jared Goff, it's already been a few years since he's been a Detroit Lion. It's basically rejuvenated his career. Jared Goff says he feels betrayed. And both of these concepts and ideas are just ridiculous to me. So we know Kirk Cousins, like I just said, four-year, $180 million contract. He said the only reason why he left Minnesota is basically they offered him a deal that was just going to be, you know, kind of one-year contracts as they tried to move on from him. They brought in, ultimately, they were going to get J.J. McCarthy. And so that's why he went to Atlanta. He wanted security. He wanted to be the starter. And then he told Netflix, he's like, listen, I would have never left if I knew they were going to treat me like this. Listen to Kirk Cousins.
Ended up signing with Atlanta and was pretty excited about the chance to get down there and start fresh. And then, you know, was pretty surprised when the NFL draft happened.
With the eighth pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr.
Well, there it is.
Oh, Wyatt.
That is the first surprise of the NFL draft, to say the least. And he is going to the place that just made a very expensive investment in a veteran quarterback.
Wasn't expecting us to take a quarterback so high. At the time, it felt like I had been a little bit misled, or certainly if I had the information around free agency, it certainly would have affected my decision. I had no reason to leave Minnesota with how much we loved it there if both teams are going to be drafting a quarterback high. But I've also learned in 12 years in this league that you're not entitled to anything. It's all about being able to earn your spot and prove yourself.
Oh, man, he felt misled. At least he said at the end, if I learned anything in this league, if there's something else that Kirk Cousins has learned in the league, it's how to make money, okay? He might be sitting on a four-year, $180 million contract now. He might very well be the highest paid backup quarterback ever in a few months, unless he gets offloaded, sent somewhere else. Kirk Cousins has made almost $300 million. Now, the Falcons, I still think they're dumb for bringing both of these guys on. Why create the controversy? You bring on a cheaper veteran. But look, it's not my money. It's Arthur Blank's money. I still think the decision was pretty ridiculous. I think the Falcons overplayed their hand, and now they got to pay two quarterbacks. Let's see if they can offload Kirk Cousins. But, man, you getting 180 mil. I wouldn't feel misled about nothing. This is the nature of the beast. This is the nature of the business. Ain't nobody your friend. Nobody owes you a pat on the back and tells you anything. The Falcons are going to pay you. Don't feel misled. The check still shows up throughout the course of the season. And Kirk Cousins isn't the only guy who felt bamboozled, misled, led astray. Jared Goff felt the same way when the Rams shipped him out to the Lions. And yeah, we knew that this wasn't necessarily going to be the greatest thing for him. I thought he was being shipped to quarterback Siberia. And then this was a great culmination of many things. You got Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator. You got old Gambling Dan as the head coach. And things have worked out for him in a good way. But thinking about the move from the Rams to the Lions, even Jared Goff, he was feeling kind of hurt. Listen to this.
So 2020 season happens. 3 weeks after the last game of the season, get a call from Sean and really did not expect anything. He lets me know, you know, they're trading me to Detroit, and I'm kind of like, oh, whoa, okay, all right. What the hell, you know, what's happening? And I would say about 30 seconds after that phone call, it was on Twitter.
It is monster news, a blockbuster trade in the NFL.
Lions have traded quarterback Matthew Stafford to the Rams.
I don't know if Jared Goff going to the Lions is going to make him better. In fact, the Lions aren't very good. And compared to the Rams, it's not even close.
You feel like you've been betrayed or like you're not wanted. And I think for me, ultimately, it was the fact that there wasn't a conversation had and that there wasn't like a, hey, we're thinking about moving on type of thing. There was nothing. You know, you wish that it wasn't such a blindside, and you wish that there was some sort of maturity, I guess, to have that conversation and to be able to let me know what's going on and how things went down and why this is happening.
Betrayed? Betrayed? This man has made about $250 million in the NFL since he was selected number one overall in 2016. Like, go talk to Sean McVay. Why didn't you ask him when he said you were traded? Did you have no further word with him? I'm sure Sean McVay kept it short, but I know he was also sick of your turnovers. Maybe that's why. I think it's kind of clear. This is the nature of sports. You sign a contract. Unless you have a no-trade clause, you know you can be moved. As simple as that. Like, it's kind of crazy. You got these dudes that making all this damn money. There's no loyalty. These teams don't owe you anything except for what is on the piece of paper. That's it. So to hear Jared Goff, who's made $250 million, say that he felt betrayed from the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams didn't owe you nothing. You were there with them when y'all went to the Super Bowl, and eventually we saw Sean McVay was sick of you. They didn't owe you nothing but what they paid you. And in Kirk Cousins' case, yeah, highly unusual for the Falcons to do what they did. But you've been paid more money than just about anybody who's ever played the damn game. Kirk Cousins has to be at or around top five when it comes to a cumulative of paychecks and money that they have earned as a member of the NFL. Kirk Cousins feels misled. Jared Goff feels betrayed. Those bank accounts don't show betrayal or being misled. And then we got another quarterback. He might have a reason to be angry, okay? He's not mad about anything yet. He plays for the Bengals. He has plenty of reason to be mad. It's Joe Burrow. We actually had a cool clip just of him being mad as a Bengal, and I'm pretty sure this was quite frequent last year, as Joe Burrow would have been an MVP candidate, a real one, if his team actually played some defense. 43 touchdowns last year, first in yards with 4,900. They played the Titans towards the end of the season. Playoff hopes were pretty thin. The Bengals beat the Titans 37-27. But if you want to hear someone who has a legit reason to be angry, it's Joe Burrow. Listen to this.
What the f*** are we doing, man? Wake the f*** up! Mental mistakes all f*** day!
Way to finish the day. That's a great drive to finish it. I know it's a frustrating,
embarrassing performance by us. Embarrassing.
And listen, we'll address it. We'll address it, but at the same time, let's enjoy some
that. We sucked today. That was embarrassing. Okay. We jumped off sides 8 times.
I know that.
He said we sucked today. And Joe Burrow continued on. He's like, listen, man, if we suck, we suck. I'm not going to say anything different. And yeah, that defense stunk last year. If they had a defense worth a damn, they'd be back in the playoffs making some noise. I don't think things are going to change this upcoming season for this team as well. They still have to figure out what the heck is going on with Trey Hendrickson. So if you want to figure out a guy who should be mad and upset, it's Joe Burrow. This guy's going to a Super Bowl once. Hopefully he doesn't end up on the Dan Marino path and never goes again. And the ownership group is cheap. Well, the owner is cheap. He'll make you buy water. He'll make your family buy water if you show up to his house. That's how cheap he is. And Joe Burrow also, poor guy, had to deal with getting robbed last year. I think he has more reason to be upset than both Kirk Cousins and Jared Goff. If you want to watch something interesting, go ahead and check out this Netflix series, Quarterback. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We are going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, you want to talk about someone with a right to be angry? Well, I don't think he's angry. We're going to have a chat with Christian Winfield. He covers the New York Knicks for the New York Daily News. Mike Brown was introduced as their new head coach today. What did Christian hear? What did he notice? And are we going to see a change or an improvement with the Knicks? High expectations. We'll have that chat with Christian on the other side. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We talked about some of the press conferences that took place earlier today. Big 12 Media Day down in Texas. And then the New York Knicks holding a press conference to introduce their new head coach, Mike Brown. You know, Mike Brown has taken over for Tom Thibodeau, who helped lead the New York Knicks to the most success they've had in about 25 years. So Mike Brown, he spoke to the media. We heard some of his comments, but now we're going to speak to someone who was right there as he was introduced. Joining us right now is someone who covers the New York Knicks for the New York Daily News. It's Christian Winfield. Christian, welcome back, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just touched back down at the house after a long trek back from Tarrytown. So finally got back to home base after an interesting press conference, we'll say, with the new Knicks head coach. So excited to join you to talk about it.
Well, thank you. You say it was interesting. I had a chance to see it. There were some things that were said. There was praise of Tom Thibodeau from Mike Brown. What were your impressions on what you heard today?
You know, when I say interesting, I think more so interesting because of the things that were left unsaid, you know, especially when you're dealing with a team last season that reached, you know, an Eastern Conference Finals that won 50 plus games for the second year in a row, and for a team that has so many pieces, so many interesting pieces on both ends, and the job of Mike Brown is to come in and find ways to maximize those pieces on both sides of the floor. Around all questions regarding how he was going to do that, he didn't necessarily give a straightforward answer, which I thought was the most interesting part of the entire day. Now, some of that he said was left to be worked on because he still has to put together his coaching staff, which is something that he said he's going to work, that he's excited to work and collaborate with team president Leon Rose on. But in terms of actually what he's going to do, what the offense is going to look like, what the defense is going to look like, you know, areas he thought that the team could improve from last year, anything that, you know, could be tangible in terms of what to expect on the court from a product standpoint, there weren't very many answers, you know, which leaves you with more questions as you go into this offseason, well, really into training camp soon. And they've got time, really, to formulate a plan. And, you know, I believe that he has a plan. He mentioned his vision multiple times. He mentioned how excited he is for the challenge. And he also mentioned that, you know, the team is already, and this is part of the allure and part of why there's so much pressure on this job as head coach of the Knicks, the team is already in a really good spot, just based on the results that we saw on the floor yesterday. It's really just, how do you optimize this group? How do you get all your pieces to play to their best level on both ends of the floor? And how do you make a deeper playoff run when you already reached heights that you haven't seen in the last quarter century, right? So I think from an enthusiasm standpoint, from a basketball history standpoint, Mike Brown is a guy who's won everywhere he's gone, and he's excited to do the same thing here in New York. But in terms of actual what it's going to look like, X's and O's, you know, we really don't have very many answers yet. And I'm looking forward to the next time, be it be training camp, be it preseason, we actually see what it looks like, because we know this team is going to play well. We saw them play well with Tom Thibodeau. We know that they're going to have more firepower off the bench, which is a big issue for them last year. But it's really, how do you maximize these guys and how do you get them to kind of play to a better level? We know what we saw last year. We saw a lot of a lack of ball movement on one end. We saw defensive miscues on the other end. And some of those miscues, we're not sure how you're going to cover for, because some of those miscues have been player specific, right? So what's Mike Brown's approach going to be to fixing this defense? And what's his approach going to be to optimizing this offense? Those are the big questions. And unfortunately, even after a press conference where we asked them, you know, questions like this, they don't have answers to the big questions coming into this offseason.
Well, Christian, given the New York Knicks history, I'm surprised you guys were even able to ask questions the way the Knicks behave. Now, it has been said by the Knicks that they hired Mike Brown after a thorough search. We saw them fire Tom Thibodeau. And at that point, it was out there that they were trying to take other coaches from other teams. And then they landed on Mike Brown, who ultimately was just let go by the Sacramento Kings. I know that he didn't want to discuss the past. He wants to look forward to the future. But apparently he wasn't even their first choice, was he? Couldn't have been.
Well, I mean, great. I think everyone, just to use a practical example, everyone's first choice at a significant other, it might be Rihanna. Right, but so that's just not possible sometimes. Sometimes what you want is not a tenable situation, right? You can't actually get it. So you had to work within the bounds of what you could actually do, which is why this search was thorough, because they went looking at other franchises and tried to poach those coaches. But obviously, when you have a good coach, you're going to do whatever it is that you can to retain them, right? So once they pass that part of the search and you start to look at the names that are on the board, and you start to look at a guy like Mike Brown and his resume and the accolades and just what he's been able to accomplish over an extremely long body of work. This guy has been in the NBA for a very, very long time. And I asked him just about, you know, just how his views on basketball have evolved as the game has evolved. And he mentioned that, you know, when earlier in his career, he was coaching Tim Duncan and David Robinson when all of basketball was kind of an inside-out game. And then you fast forward a few years, and now he's with Steph and Clay and Kevin Durant and Draymond. You're playing five out. And then a couple years after that, he's got one of the fastest, most efficient offenses in all of basketball with the Sacramento Kings. Then when you think about his championship run with the Cleveland Cavaliers, yes, you have LeBron, but that team was predicated largely on defense. So this is a guy whose view of basketball has kind of evolved with the time. And this is also a guy who's just well accomplished in the league. We're talking about another two-time coach of the year. Talking about a guy who's made six NBA finals appearances, either as an assistant or that one year when he took LeBron. And a team, if we really think about that LeBron James Cavaliers team, you had LeBron and you had a bunch of other guys who were really just feeding off of LeBron. And it was Mike Brown's job to make that situation work. And he turns that into an NBA Finals team. Obviously, LeBron, you could say he carried that team, but the coach plays a long role, in how far a team can go. So Mike has proven at different stops that he can win. He's proven also at different stops that he's going to find ways to maximize the pieces that you give him. And the Knicks have given him more pieces now in terms of Jordan Clarkson and Gershon Yabusele, but the pieces that are already there, the pieces that made up the core of this team, it's really, as I mentioned, even though we don't really have answers as to how he's going to do it, it's about maximizing the options that he has in front of him. He seemed real excited about the idea of doing that in the weeks to come, of figuring out, and I guess getting to the drawing board and figuring out what it's going to look like on the court. In terms of on paper, and we're talking about the different candidates that were available, I know a lot of people were talking about Mike Malone because he won the title and there wasn't any real traction there. We saw the other guys that they were interviewing in terms of Taylor Jenkins and you see the Vaughn Staley reports as well. When you're in a situation like this and you're taking a 50-plus win team that just got to the conference finals, you want to get a sure thing. And just based on his track record, based on his history, Mike Brown is as close as you're going to get to a sure thing that's available on the market right now. And to my understanding, that's why they made this decision.
Knicks beat writer for the New York Daily News, Christian Winfield, is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast. You talk about the coaching staff. We know that Rick Brunson was the associate coach right next to Tom Thibodeau. Is he going to be moved further down the bench? And have we heard from any of the players as of yet, now that Mike Brown has officially been hired? We know Jalen was certainly a fan on keeping Tibbs.
Yeah, no news on players in terms of, you know, how they've where they're, I guess, are in terms of Mike Brown being hired. But we know that Mike Brown has already started reaching out to some of the guys. We know Carl Anthony Towns was laughing at a post about Mike Brown on Twitter in terms of what it's going to be like when he's coaching the Knicks. So it appears that there's good vibes around the hire. In terms of the coaching staff, we know that that's something that's a work in progress. Not sure whether or not Rick Brunson is going to have as much, I guess we'll call it pull, as he did with Tom Thibodeau. But he's still another guy who's going to be on this bench whose insight and just expertise is going to be valuable, especially when we talk about just connection and just comfort with the players that are returning from last year and from over the years. But we also know that Mike Brown is going to want to bring his own guys into his staff, right? This is a guy who has such extensive coaching history and has made so many different, relationships over his career. That why not try, if you can, to go get a guy in James Borrego that we've seen him reportedly trying to grab from New Orleans, right? James Borrego's a guy who's been a head coach in Charlotte, but also comes from the San Antonio Spurs tree, right? So I expect Mike Brown to try to find ways to get some of the guys that he likes onto his coaching staff. What it means for the guys who are already part or who were part of the coaching staff last year remains to be seen. We'll see who's back with the staff for next year. But I think that we can fully expect Mike Brown to get at least one of his guys in here sometime soon.
Now, Christian, you talk about the additions that the Knicks have made. Jordan Clarkson, a former Sixth Man of the Year. Yabusele, who turned his performance last year into a trip back into the NBA. We've seen kind of a slow drip here with free agency, with some of the moves and trades. As it relates to the Knicks, this is pretty much, you can presume, going to be the roster come October, no?
Yeah, and you know, this is kind of the approach that I expected them to have, with the exception of if Giannis Antetokounmpo becomes available, if one of those big names, if the Joker would have somehow become available for trade, right? Maybe you take a home run swing for one of those guys. But really, we know what this team's problems were from last year. It was a lack of depth, and it was a lack of using the available depth. And, you know, if we're talking ball movement, X's and O's, that's a different conversation. But from a roster standpoint, you had the worst scoring bench. The bench only averaged about 22 points per game in the regular season, which was the worst out of all 30, I think, by a 3 or 4 point margin. And in the playoffs, your bench is only giving you 16 points. And we're just seeing from what Indiana and what Oklahoma City did in terms of getting to the NBA Finals, based on their depth, you don't have that, you're not going to be able to compete, right? Depth is kind of the new meta right now. So what do the Knicks do? They go out and get Jordan Clarkson, a guy who, you just do the math, he's outscored everyone in terms of bench points over the last 5 years, and that's including him starting a year, right? So in 4 years off the bench, he's outscored everyone over the last 5 years as a former Sixth Man of the Year. And then you also, as you mentioned, go get Gershon Yabusele, who really had that breakout game or that breakout series in the Olympics, right, where he's just going off for Team France, signs with the Sixers, and kind of uses that Olympic appearance to revitalize his career, goes to Philly and becomes a fill-in center because Joel Embiid's not playing, played about 80% of his minutes at the center spot last year, and also shot at 39%. So you're giving the Knicks some more versatility in the front court, some more size in the front court, which is something they desperately needed. And then on top of that, you're getting a guy who can really outscore the Knicks bench by himself in Jordan Clarkson. And he's also a guy who averages a sneaky number of assists. This is a guy who's averaged, I think, 3.7, 4, and 5 assists over the last 3 years. Jordan Clarkson is going to be really just an injection of productivity for this bench. And what that's going to do is not let you have to rely on your starters so much. Even though I think even if you weren't able to improve your bench this much, I think Mike Brown is a guy who would just read the room and realize we're going to have to play some of these 8th, 9th, and 10th stringers a little bit more just to preserve our starters for the playoff run. But now that you've bolstered this bench and you've given them this many options, you're looking at a team that's really set up to be fresh in April. As long as everyone's healthy. And if this Knicks team can be fresh in April and you're still playing a deep rotation, I think you're in a good spot. So kudos to the front office for going out and improving the bench. I didn't think they needed too much more. And they've still got another roster spot left. We'll see what happens. They've got another spot, minimum salary spot under the second apron. So we'll see how they use that, who they target. Do they go for a guy who's, you know, bought out or is a free agent that was cut from another team? Or do they maybe re-sign one of their own guys? You can look at, there's a case to be made for Delon Wright and Landry Shamet to return to this team. So we'll see what it looks like with how they use that spot. But this team has depth now, and that was really the big question mark. Were they going to be able to address it with such little flexibility, salary cap-wise? They went out and did that. I think the Knicks had, you could look at the Houston Rockets, who had probably the best offseason out of any NBA team. But in terms of other than them, I think you can put the Knicks in terms of addressing needs up there with anybody else in the NBA.
Man, optimism for the New York Knicks. Hey, Christian, thank you so much for the time. Please tell everybody where they could follow you, all your works, all your writings with the New York Daily News.
Absolutely. Well, the first place, if you wake up tomorrow morning and you go to your local store, grab a New York Daily newspaper, go to that sports section, you're going to see me covering the Knicks for the Daily News. But if you're online like me, hop on Twitter, go to NewYorkDailyNews.com, Twitter at Chris Flash. If you're just looking up Knicks stuff, I'm all over it. So appreciate you for having me on the show.
No doubt about it, Christian. We'll catch you down the line.
My man, thanks for having me.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break when we come back. I guess this is basketball related. I guess it's not. It's a tie-in between tennis, soccer, basketball, and Dennis Rodman. I'll explain on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And right now it's time for a news flash with Rich Ackerman.
Looking to earn a business degree that fits your busy life? UNC Greensboro's Bryan School of Business and Economics offers flexible, fully online programs with courses as short as 7 weeks. Get the same high-quality education as you would on campus with the convenience and affordability of online learning. Explore a variety of in-demand programs. Don't wait. Apply now to start this fall. Visit bryan.uncg.edu to apply today.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you, coast to coast, on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Christian Winfield for joining us from the New York Daily News. New York Knicks got a new head coach in Mike Brown, introduced earlier today. And damn it, we just got to wait and see what happens in May. Really, that's it. I just really feel strongly for all the moves that they've made. If Mitchell Robinson, who does not have a history of staying healthy, if he ain't out there, they're cooked. Same space, same level, same move about everything. And Botcher, what are your thoughts on what Christian had to say about everything the Knicks have done?
I think the Knicks fans are expecting way too much, way too early with Mike Brown, because there is going to be a process where he has to get integrated with the team, build chemistry, implement his system. So I'm not really like worried about how Christian said there was no real answers on how to fix their defense, fix their offense. That can build and groove throughout the regular season. So I'm not really worried about that, but some of the other things were, like you said, not mentioning his past in Sacramento. That's a little suspicious. Just there's small things that pop up as red flags, but they're not major yet.
Yes, it's not like they made some gigantic jump. I think the biggest moves that the New York Knicks have made have to deal with the roster and less about the head coach. But this is why they play the games. Tom will certainly go ahead and tell us what the heck is going on. Speaking of what's going on, I am going to get to a story between mixing tennis and basketball and a Rodman. But I saw this story as well in the break, and I'm like, what the heck is this? Speaking about big money and people complaining, Botcher, there's a woman from Florida, typically Florida man, but no, this is a woman. She worked as a receptionist at a veterinary clinic, okay? She was to make $60,000 for a year. There was a payroll error, that instead of paying her $60,000, she got paid more than $400,000 for the entire year. She did not go to accounting. She did not go to her boss and go, hey, I think I've been getting paid a whole hell of a lot more than what I'm used to getting. She took the money and she transferred a big portion of it to Venezuela so some her family could buy a house. She sent $80,000 so somebody could put together a food truck. And now she's been arrested and she's being held for theft and money laundering. And she says that she thought it was a bonus and a gift from God.
Honestly, I know deep down you need to report that there's a mistake with your salary. But if that issue ever happens, it shouldn't be put on the person who gets the money. You can't always be 100% honest. I don't blame her for what she did.
You would have stole the money?
No. I would have had a deep moral thought with myself saying, should I take some of the money, not all of the money?
Yeah, you wouldn't take 80 and send it to a food truck. You wouldn't take a couple of hundred and build a house. You would buy some shoes and then give the money back?
Maybe.
You have a level of theft.
Yeah, I have class, aka not really, but I wouldn't take all of it because that's obvious. If you give back a majority of it, but take a little bit, you know, a couple thousand, they would not notice.
Here we go. When confronted by the clinic's lead veterinarian, who reportedly didn't notice the issue until her own paycheck failed to arrive and her credit cards were declined, this woman, Jessica, broke down and confessed. She eventually returned $200,000, okay, all right, in the form of a cashier's check, but claimed she couldn't repay the remaining because her mother had already sent $100,000 overseas, believing it to be a gift from God. She's currently being held at Palm Beach County Maine Detention Center. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing is that this one woman got everybody else's paycheck as well.
The doctor, the lead doctor, has asked that both Jessica and the payroll company be held responsible for the financial mishap. This is like, you're a thief, and then you screwed up the books.
Well, yeah, so, I'd be looking for everybody who's involved with this mistake.
This is like Shad Khan letting his, one of his accountants rob him and go crypto shopping. You know, it's just there's certain things you can't make up, man. Wow.
How do you not? My only thing is, how do you not notice you're not getting paid? Like, you just don't check
if
at
it's
all?
If it's one time, you know, it may not be a big deal. If you're the lead vet and it's like you go out on a Friday and now all of a sudden your credit card doesn't work, maybe it takes some time. I don't know.
It's people. It's Florida. Something about Florida where the people don't check their accounts or don't think straight. I don't get it.
Well, look, Shohei Ohtani got robbed for how much money? 17 mil?
Yeah. But that's bad also. He's an idiot for that.
Well, if you have a lot of money, let's just say you may not be worried. And I'm not saying a veterinary people got $17 million sitting in their account like Ohtani plus that. But if you got a lot of money and you don't have to live check to check, maybe you're not sitting around worrying about that money coming in. Maybe it's going to take a while for you to realize.
Yeah, it's a lot of money, though, that was missing. It's not like...
Who are you... Are you talking about them or Shohei?
Oh, Shohei. Well, both. It's both.
If
$400,000 doesn't just pop out of nowhere.
Yeah, if you are missing a check and you have money, you may not be worried about it, Bacha, okay? Okay, all right. You say that now. You start making Shohei Ohtani money, I don't think you're going to be checking your account every Friday. I don't know.
This whole story is a mess because then, too, they have to know something else is wrong. Like, nobody, because it's the lead vet that was missing checks, right? But nobody else was. And nobody else noticed something was off. Like, this person has, you know, a brand new food truck sitting outside.
Oh, no. She sent the food truck. She gave the money to somebody for a food truck, not her food truck. Now, it's one thing she goes from a Toyota Corolla and now she showed up in a Lamborghini. You know, I mean, there's some things here, but I don't think she sent $200,000 back, right? So,
yeah, that's nice. At least half of it went back. But even still, it's just
so she could have got a brand new car from whatever she was driving. She didn't. She didn't show up with jewelry on. She didn't show up looking like, I don't know, Kodak Black or something like that. So she apparently she kept things modest. She sent money to Venezuela. She sent money to somebody to get a food truck. And they thought it was a bonus and a gift from God.
At that point, she shouldn't be arrested because the fact she didn't try to spend it all is a good thing.
And she may not be. But as it stands right now, she is. And I'm pretty sure they're going to be looking for restitution. She's going to have to find a way maybe to get that money back. Palm Beach workers accidentally paid $400,000 by employer. But she is now the one in big trouble. There we go. She's 29 years old. She should know better, right? You don't just get that much money. All of a sudden, your job just bumps you up without you knowing that much. Is she that kind of out the lunch? I don't know.
It's a gift from God.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Good luck to her if she's a good person. I don't know her. Anyway, it's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back, I told you, there's an issue. Oh, goodness. I was distracted for a minute. Anyway. Who's that? Las Vegas Aces? Okay. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to tie together soccer, tennis, basketball, and the last name Rodman. Yeah, we got a lot to get into. And then we're going to talk to Gil Gross. He covers all things tennis for the Tennis Channel. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Don't take more money than you're owed from your employer. That's stealing. That's some JR wisdom. Don't move.